Psalms number 79 in the Word of God. And I want to begin reading in verse number 1 of Psalm 79. The Bible said there, O God, the heathen are come into thine inheritance. Thy holy temple have they defiled. They have laid Jerusalem on heaps. The dead bodies of thy servants have they given to be meat unto the fowls of the heaven, the flesh of thy saints unto the beasts of the earth. Their blood have they shed like water round about Jerusalem, and there was none to bury them. We are become a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. How long, Lord, will thou be angry forever? Shall thy jealousy burn like a fire? Pour out thy wrath upon the heathen that have not known thee, and upon the kingdoms that have not called upon thy name. For they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his dwelling place. O, remember not against us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercy speedily prevent us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us, and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is their God? Let him be known among the heathen in our sight by the revenging of the blood of thy servants which is shed. Let the sighing of the prisoner come before thee. According to the greatness of thy power, preserve thou those that are appointed to die, and render unto our neighbors sevenfold into their bosom their reproach, wherewith they have reproached thee, O Lord. So we, thy people, and the sheep of thy pasture, will give thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. Now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that psalm, all 13 verses of it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we rejoice this morning in Calvary. Thank God for your shed blood and the life that you give and laid down for us that we might be the children of God. We thank you this morning, as was taught in Sunday school, of just who you are. The excellent, gracious, kind, loving, not only Creator, but Heavenly Father, that you are for those that have been transformed by the grace of Jesus. We thank you this morning for the privilege of being in the house of God. Thank you for thy word that we have. Thank you for the privilege of preaching today. I pray, Lord, that you'll move on every heart that's under the sound of my voice. God, you'll bless those today that are hurting in their soul and hurting in their heart today. May they find good grace and help those that are afflicted and sick. I pray for them as well. Help us, Lord, to preach this morning. I need your divine help. I need it greatly. I pray for it. I pray for your power and your unction, the liberty in the house of God. Bless us, I pray, as thy people, as we look to thee, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to read this morning for our text verse, the last verse of this chapter, where the psalmist Asaph says, so we, thy people, and sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forever. Amen. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. Now, if I was to give a title to this entire psalm that I've read, it would have to be The Pleadings of a Devoted Saint. I want us to notice very quickly, especially four verses, verse number 5, where the psalmist said, how long, Lord, will thou be angry forever? Shall thy jealousy burn like fire? Here he's pleading with the Lord for divine help. Jerusalem has been overrun by the heathen. The blood of the saints line the streets. And here's a man that is pleading with God for divine intervention. It would do us well today to learn that and to plead with our God for divine intervention for our country. Our country is in a mess today. And it's there because God's people have failed. You can say what you want to say, but we have failed to be all that we need to be for God. And so it would do us well to plead our case before the Lord. Notice verse number 8 very quickly. He said, "Oh, remember not against us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercies speedily prevent us, for we are brought very low." He said, "The Lord, forgive us of our former iniquities." When I read that, I thought about Nehemiah as he prayed to the Lord to help him to return to Jerusalem to build the walls. He not only prayed for himself, but he prayed for the sins of his fathers that they had committed. And he asked God to forgive them of those sins. And then he said, "We're brought very low." Boy, I believe that's about where we're living today, don't you? God's people, I think, are living low in spirit, but we're also living low in our service and labor for God. And when the spirit is down, it's hard for us to get the flesh on the move for the glory of God. And by the way, this body does carry our spiritual man everywhere he goes. This flesh has got to be healthy in order to do that. Now, notice verse number 9 very quickly. He said, "Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for thy name's sake." That's pretty easy to interpret. He wants his sins forgiven for Christ's name's sake. He didn't say, "Forgive my sins because I'm worthy of it." He said, "Forgive my sins for your name's sake, lest you be brought under reproach because of my sins." And ladies and gentlemen, when they say in the Word of God, "Forgive me of my sins," it's not just saying, "Forgive me of my sins and let me continue in them." But it's saying, "Forgive me of my sins because I am prepared in my heart to forsake them as well, that it bring not reproach to the name of the living God." But he said, "Help us, O God, of our salvation, for the glory of thy name." And now what Brother Steve taught in Sunday school, that it is for his glory and not ours. And I'll tell you, it is the very truth of what the man said. There's a lot of creatures today that are worshiping and serving the creature rather than the Creator. When we hear men brag on themselves and brag on other men, they are worshiping the creature more than the Creator. I have no bragging rights this morning. I'm telling you, there is nothing in me and there is nothing in you that deserves the love of God. That's absolutely right. If God did right, He would have put us all in hell. But I'm glad that He showed mercy on us and sent His Son into the world to be a propitiation for our sins. To die, as Miss Hall sang, in our place as He did in the place of Barabbas when He died on Mount Calvary. We're worth absolutely nothing. We're worth absolutely nothing. And I'll say more about that in a little while. But I want us to read verse number 11, where he said, "Let the sighing of the prisoner come before thee. According to the greatness of thy power, preserve those that are appointed to die." Here he's pleading. I said, I would call this psalm or name it the pleading of a devoted saint. Now, in verse 13, what Asaph does, he reminds the Lord of who this people is and the relationship that they have to him. He said there, "So we, thy people, and the sheep of thy pasture." So he reminds the Lord of who his people is, and not only who his people is, but the relationship that they have to God. He said, "We're the sheep of thy pasture, and we're God's people." So we, the people, and this relationship comes in two obligations to God's people. Number one, we're to give thanks forever. He didn't say just to thank God for a little while and then forget it. He didn't say just come to church on Sunday morning and testify and say, "I want to thank God for something," and mention it no more the rest of the week. He said, "Give thanks to God forever." And ladies and gentlemen, forever is a long, long time. It's a long, long time. And I'm saying, how long has it been since you really thanked God? How long has it been since we really got on our knees and forgot about praying for ourselves and being selfish toward ourselves and what we want God to do for us and asking, thanking God, just thanking God for what He has done? I'm telling you, I learned this a long time ago, if we'll thank God for who He is and for what He has done, He'll show up in the service, because that thanksgiving will soon turn to praise, and God inhabiteth the praises of His people. He loves to be praised, and if we'll praise God, I'll guarantee you, God will show up where we're at. In Psalm 150, the word praise is mentioned 13 times in 6 verses. That tells me God wants His people to praise Him. When He said, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Do you have breath today? And if you have breath today, we ought to be praising God for who He is and what He's done in our heart and life by saving us by His marvelous grace. We could be frying in hell today, but God has saved us by His grace. Amen. Now, I say this on the authority of the Word of God, and I'm not bragging about it, and I'm not proud about it. But I'm telling you, there was a fellow last week that the world is put bragging about. They're worshiping him. They're putting him up on a pedestal. And that man is frying in hell right now. And they're bragging on him like he was some great hero of America. I'll tell you what he was. He was a dope addict for one thing. And he was a pedophile for another thing. And he was a sodomite for another thing. And yet the world worships man. Hey, the world has gone after these entertainers more than they've gone after God. Amen. And they're praising them more than they're praising God. It's no wonder God is judging our country, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. I know that's right. Now, you can brag on him if you want to, but I'm not going to brag on him. And I'll guarantee he ain't doing the moonwalk. He might be doing the brimstone jump, but he ain't doing the moonwalk. Amen. I know a lot of people don't like that, but it's a fact. The Bible fact, a man dies without Christ, he goes to hell. It doesn't matter if it's Michael Jackson or you or me, we die without God, we're going to hell. Don't matter if it's a president or a ruler of a country, they're going to hell if they don't know God. Amen. I say that in all authority of the Word of God. I want to say this, and I'll get into what I want to preach on today. I was walking through Cracker Barrel the other day. I saw a book sitting on the shelf in Cracker Barrel. And it had on it the Constitution of the United States. And I read that on the back of it. It had the preamble to the Constitution of the United States. And it began with this word, these words. We the people. And I looked at verse 13 and it said, we thy people. We thy people. This said, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union. I'm glad that I can say, we the people of God have formed a more perfect union. You say, preacher, you've lost your mind. No, I've not lost my mind. There was a time that my union was with the chains of sin. Amen. And the fetters of sin and the power of Satan. But thank God, we thy people have had those chains broken by the power of the blood of Christ. And I'm no longer, and you're no longer, under the power of sin. And you're no longer under the power of Satan, thank God. We have found liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, if we're saved, we are in Christ and we have a blessed union with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. And we have formed a more perfect union the day we got saved by the grace of God and became the people of Almighty God. Nice amen right there. And then it said to establish justice. Son, the people of God believe in justice. Amen. Amen. Now, they're going to go right ahead and put that woman on the Supreme Court. Sotomayor, whatever her name is. It doesn't make any difference that she ruled, made a ruling on the Court of Appeals that was biased and prejudiced and racial. Now I know I'm on the radio. She's a racist. They won't admit it, but she's a racist. And they're going to seat her on the Supreme Court. Amen. Simply because of her background, who she is and where she come from. Be a great thing to have the first Hispanic on the Supreme Court. I wouldn't give a flip who she is or what she is. Son, if she's a racist, I'm telling you, she is not going to make right decisions on that court. I guarantee you on that. And she has no business being on there. Amen. But when we got in God's family and became we the people of God, I'm going to tell you something, friend. We serve justice and we want justice, and someday God's coming back to this earth and justice will be carried out by Almighty God. Amen. He's coming and His reward is with Him to give to every man according to their work. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Then He said, to ensure domestic tranquility. Woo! Domestic tranquility amongst the people? How much more tranquility can we have than that which we receive when we become His people? We His people. We Thy people. So we Thy people and the sheep of Thy pasture. Buddy, I know when I was lost, my life was chaotic. It was full of chaos and just unrest and uneasiness. And I found no peace in my heart. Oh, but that glorious morning when I got born again, I'm glad I could lift my voice toward heaven and sing that song, peace, peace, heavenly peace. Thank God that cometh down from above. Thank the Lord that He's given me peace, not as the world gives peace, He's given unto me. And I tell you, He has given unto me the peace of Almighty God in my heart. And I can rest, and because I'm resting in my soul, I've got tranquility in my heart because I'm God's youngin'. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. And then He said, provide the common defense. I won't go into that. Some of y'all don't believe in bearing arms. I'm going to defend my family. Amen. Right there. To promote general welfare. Now, that's not talking about welfare. Amen. Said to secure the blessings of liberty. Secure them. What's our verse I put in our bulletin this morning? So, brethren, stand fast. Amen. In the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm so glad this morning that Christ set me free and I've got liberty in God. Not liberty to sin, but when I got saved, He gave me a liberty that I don't have to sin against God. Oh, yes, sir, I'm free. Thank God I'm free. Are you telling what I'm saying? When they drew up that Constitution and said, we the people, they separated themselves from the mother country and become a free nation under God. Somebody say amen. And they found religious liberty and freedom of speech in America. Thank God when God saved us, God liberated us from the powers of sin. And thank God we're living in liberty now. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad I was liberated. Liberated from strife, like the song says that we sang this morning. Woo, I could go on for a long time, but I might get in the message. He said to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Isn't that what we the people are supposed to do? Secure not only liberty for ourselves, but for them little toe heads sitting beside you. You better believe that's what we're supposed to do. Them little young'uns sitting beside you need to be born again by the grace of God. We need to be on our prayers, on our knees, praying for them, calling their little names out before God and asking God to show them mercy. Hey, somebody said, well, I'm in, me and my four, no more. Bless God, that's the way most people feel. And I'm telling you, you better not feel that about your young. And I'm telling you, some of you in here better get her in gear.
Some of you in here are loafing on God. You're just loafing on God and playing the game. And I'm telling you, hey, come on now and listen to me. You may play the game now, but when you see your own flesh and blood cast into hell someday, it won't be fun and games then, ladies and gentlemen. When God saved us and put us in the family of God, He did it that we might secure our own posterity. That's exactly what Noah did. Hallelujah. He built an ark for the saving of his family.
Amen.
Amen. And then to ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States. Having said that, I won't take just a few minutes and I won't be long. But I want to preach for the remainder of time I got on this thought. We the people. We the people. That's what he said there in verse number 13. We the people of God.
Amen.
We the people of God. I hope we're people of God this morning.
Amen.
I do. I hope we're a people of God. Can you say that today? We the people of God.
Amen.
And the sheep of thy pasture.
Amen.
Hallelujah to his wonderful name. I'm glad I can say I'm a child of the King this morning. I'm a child of the Most High God. Amen. I'm in a royal family. Thank God. My father is a king and he owns it all. Amen. I'm a nothing and a nobody and deserve to be in hell. But amen, I've got a father that's a king this morning. And I've got a big brother and a savior that is Lord over all. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, I'll make him Lord. How can you make him Lord? He always has been Lord. He is Lord, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. That's what that thief said on the cross. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Paul said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? You don't make him Lord. He is Lord. In fact, you don't make him anything. He already is everything. How can you make him anything when he's already everything? Amen. You'll catch that by flying train here after a while. So we the people. What kind of people are we as God's people? I've got three little points. They're as simple as 1, 2, 3. But that's what God's laid on my heart. I hope they'll help you. We the people, we're peculiar people.
Amen.
We're peculiar people. And I want you to know that I have made application to this. I never knew it until I prepared this message, but you know what that word peculiar really means? That word peculiar really means a purchased possession.
Amen.
That's what makes us peculiar. We are a purchased possession.
Amen.
That's what makes us peculiar. I don't want to say too much about it because I want to say some more about it. But the Bible said in 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation.
Amen.
You're a royal priesthood and holy nation. A peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You know, that's funny. He said in these words that we're to give thanks and to show forth His praises to all generations. And here it says as a peculiar people that we've been called out of darkness and we're a people that should show forth the praises of God. I'm telling you, you can't get away from that. It's all through the Word of God. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. But we are a peculiar people unto God. And peculiar in this world. And I want to tell you something. That word peculiar doesn't mean that we got to look strange and we got to stand out like a sore thumb amongst everybody else. That's right. That means if we put on a three-piece suit and run up over to the Frankfurt and walk in the big house over there where all the politicians are, they got on three-piece suits or two-piece suits and a necktie, we look just like them. We're not peculiar to them. We look just like them. But I'm going to tell you where we're peculiar. On the inside, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. And we're peculiar in the blessing that God has bestowed upon us. Amen. Very peculiar we really are. Now hang right with me. Hang right with me. May I say we're peculiar in our call. He said it has called us out of darkness. Get this. Into His marvelous light. Woo! I'm glad that I'm walking in light. They that walk in light shall never stumble. Amen. And, oh, What peculiar. Hey, here we are like the ones down in Egypt over in Goshen living in the light of God while that lost crowd over in Egypt was living in the darkness. Amen. So dark. I'm talking about darkness that was thick that they couldn't see. Hey, but God had His people over yonder in Goshen still in the light. And I'm telling you, I'm glad that He called me out of that darkness. Oh, and that darkness had me blinded. Oh, I could not see the glorious liberty of God would provide in Christ. I couldn't see the blessings of God and the joy of being saved, the joy of going to heaven. Oh, God help me. I couldn't see the blessing of being called out of sin and being called into righteousness and holiness and blessedness. I could not see the blessing of having God to worship all the days of my life and to praise Him all the days of my life. He's worthy, brethren. I want to say, praise God, I'm about to go through that prayer. I'm telling you, He's worthy today of our praise and our adoration, our worship. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Amen. Amen. He's worthy. Yes, sir. Now, called us out of darkness in His marvelous light. And also, He's called us into a royal priesthood.
Amen.
We are a royal priesthood. Now, you got to understand this. You remember the priesthood that was established? The Aaronic priesthood? The priesthood was given to Aaron and the tribe of Levi. I could say something right here that God gave me, but it would terrify some of you. If you want to know, I'll tell you after the service. But He gave that special privilege to Levi.
Amen.
Nobody else. A priest could come out of no other tribe but out of the tribe of Levi. Now get a hold of this. They became priests through their birthright. They had to be born into the tribe of Levi. Somebody said, "Preacher, how do we become priests?" I'm going to tell you. Through our birthright, amen. We've been born again into the family of God. We the people of God have been born into the family of God. We've got a birthright, hallelujah. Amen. We're priests of God because we've been born into the family of God, hallelujah. Yes, sir. We've got a birthright. We've got a birthright, amen. What about that now? What about that, this the birthright? And it's great. And then there's great privileges. The greatest privilege of this birthright is access to God.
Amen.
Come on and get a hold of this now. The greatest privilege of this birthright and being God's people is having access to God. You remember how you've been taught in the Old Testament? All of the priests ministered around the tabernacle. But only that high priest could go in once a year behind that veil with blood. First, with the blood for himself and his family, then with the blood for the sins of the people. That high priest done that once a year, and the people waited outside till he came out. And when he came out, they knew that God had accepted that blood and their sins were atoned for another year. But you get a hold of this, buddy. Whew. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I'm about to have a spell. When Christ died on the cross, I can take you to the Bible and read to you over in Hebrews, I believe chapter number 10 or something like that. Let me just read it if I can find it. Having therefore, I'm in verse 10, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, for He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Our conscience sprinkled with that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And being washed with pure water is that word of God. And we can draw near. Somebody said, what are you saying? I'm saying when Christ died on the cross, He is our great high priest. And only a great high priest was allowed behind that veil. But ladies and gentlemen, Whoa! Hallelujah to God! When Christ died on the cross and that sword went through His side, amen! That veil of His flesh was rent in twain. And at the same time, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. And that's secured our entrance into the presence of God. Our high priest is there now. But I'm glad, thank God, as just a priest here below, that I've got access into the throne room of God. Thank God I can go to God now through my Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, I don't have to go behind that veil. I go through the veil of the Lord Jesus. He is my judge advocate at the right hand of God. And we can go to God. We've got access to God. Amen. Through that call, we've got access to God. Isn't that wonderful? To know that old nobody's like us can get right into where God's at. Right into His presence. Oh, yes. Through a new and a living way. New and a living way. It ain't a dead way, but it's a living way. Somebody say, hey, by blood sprinkled way. You'll get a hold of that after a while. I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe when He went up with the blood, I believe He just sprinkled it all the way up. He said, now if you're coming where I'm at, where God's at, you've got to come by the blood sprinkled way.
Amen.
Amen. Now, you don't have to believe that if you don't want to. That's Hall theology. But I believe it. You're not going there no other way than through His blood. I'm going to tell you what I personally believe. I believe when the rapture takes place, we're going up through that blood-sprinkled way that He already made for us. Somebody said, well, why that? Because the devil is the prince of the power of the air. That egg sucker, if he could, he'd get us in the air. But I'm glad, thank God, we're covered by the blood all the way from earth to heaven. Amen. Even into the throne room where God's at. We've got access to God by the blood of the Lord Jesus that was shed on Calvary. Hallelujah. And He has made us kings and priests unto our God. Amen.
Amen.
Now we're, hey, just the high priest is all that can go in. Now all the priests can go in. All of them. What a call into this priesthood that we can get into the presence of God. And some of you sit there and look like calf looking at a new gate. And I'm going to tell you, if you ever get in there one time and lose yourself in the love of God. Amen. Old Billy Kelly said he went home from church one Sunday morning. Said his mom was in the kitchen cooking. Said she had them little round, what they call them little steaks. It's not steaks or they like hamburger steaks, but huh? Minute steaks. Had them on the stove and said she'd already cooked them. She'd had them in a skillet and had them in gravy. Said he walked out there and he looked and said that gravy was bubbling. Said he'd go, them little bubbles come up. He said, Mama, what are you doing? She said, son, I'm basking them steaks. And he said them steaks were just a jumping around in there and in that gravy. And he said the thought come to him and said, praise God. Said, that's what I've been doing here lately. I've just been basking in His love. I'm just bouncing around in the love of God. I'm telling you, you ever get in there behind the veil in His presence, and I'm telling you, you can get there by the blood of the Lord Jesus. I'm telling you, you'll never be the same if you ever get there. And God has given you the privilege and granted you the opportunity. He's given you access to God through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. Get in behind that veil where God's at. And when you come out, woo, you may come out a shout and praise God. Oh, you may come out dancing the jig. Hallelujah. It's untelling how you'll act when you come out of there. Amen. To get in behind the veil where God's at. I said where God's at. I don't know too many Baptists have ever been there. But boy, it's a wonderful place. It's a holy place. You better kick your shoes off before you get there. You better make sure you're confessed up before you try to get in there. That's why we don't have much of God in our church.
Amen.
Most churches.
You're not going to run in 2 minutes before church starts, flop down in a seat, and expect God to show up. It's not that way. God expects us to pray a little while and prepare our heart. Get ready for it. Get ready for worship. We're not going to apply and sit down, have God run out, and have God. It don't work that way. You'll never get behind the veil that way, I'll tell you that. Amen. All right. Okay. Stay right with me. As a high priest, we're to offer sacrifices. As a priest, we're to offer. The priest offered sacrifices. Is that not right? Worked around that tabernacle and they offered sacrifices every day. They offered sacrifices. Well, we're to offer sacrifices as well. Number one, hey, we are to offer the sacrifice. We are to offer the sacrifice of our body as a living sacrifice. Amen. Our bodies. Not too many men, not too many women want to offer their bodies. Paul said in Romans 12:1, I won't spend too much time here. I'll get the meddling for you. Said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Amen. Holy and acceptable unto God. And then he just stopped for a minute and said, which is your reasonable service? We think selling out to God and giving ourselves wholly to the work of the ministry is just something that a few people ought to do and we can take it or leave it all. I'm telling you, that is not the way. He said that we ought to present. He called them brethren. They wasn't all preachers. He said, present your bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, give it all. Somebody said, preacher, when you going to give her up? When I burn out. Amen. Amen. When I burn out, that's when I'm going to give her up. Someone, God called me to preach. God called me to preach. I'm going to preach till I burn out. Hallelujah to God. This body, as long as this body will carry me and I've got breath in it, I'm going to tell somebody if I have to stand out on the street corner. I'm going to tell somebody about the grace of God. That God still loves. God still loves old sinners. Hallelujah. And God's still a saving old sinners. By His marvelous grace. He delights in saving sinners and bringing them out of grace into the marvelous light of the glory of God. Amen. And granting them access into the throne where God's at. Hallelujah. That blood sprinkled away. Woo! That's wonderful. Amen. That's right. We're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Well, somebody sweep the floor. Somebody else will do it. Well, let's come and worship God tonight. Oh, somebody else can do that. He did say your body. I've had people call me on the phone and say, preacher, can't make it tonight, but I'll be there in spirit. I don't want your stinking spirit. I want your rotten carcass sitting on a seat out there. I can't do nothing to your spirit. I can't even see it. I want you. Amen. Your spirit can't do a thing without your body. That's why I said present your body. Present your body. Present your body. Present your body. A living sacrifice. In other words, let it die for God. Amen. Work itself with God. I better hurry. I got a long way to go. Amen. We're to offer also the sacrifice of praise. He said in Hebrews chapter 10, or chapter 13, verse 15, he said, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. Giving thanks to his name. And he said we're to do this, and boy, this is really going to get some of you, continually. Do you really understand what the word continually means? All of the time. Now, how in the world can we do that? Jojo, how can we do that? How can we thank him all of the time? Amen. That's a tough one. Giving praise the fruit of our lips. Now come on now. Amen. Somebody said, I'll just worship him down in my heart. He said, your lips. Amen.
Let your lips say what your heart is thinking. If your heart thinks, glory to God, hey, glory to God. If your heart thinks, boy, I really love Him. Lord, I really love You. If your heart thinks, Lord, You've been good to me. Lord, You've been good to me. If your heart thinks, I want to thank You for what He's done. Lord, I want to thank You for what You've done. Amen. If your heart says, I want to praise Him because of who He is and how glorious He is and how wonderful He is and how holy He is. Amen. Lord, I want to praise You because You're holy. Amen. And You're making me holy like You're holy. Woo! And one of these days, hey, God, I'm going to be just like Him. Hallelujah. I feel like kicking the devil's right teeth. Kick his stinking teeth out this morning. Praise God. I'm telling you, I feel like biting nails. And amen. Hallelujah. I'm not chewing tobacco. I'm chewing nails this morning. Amen. Kick the devil right between the eyes. Sorry, egg sucker. Amen. He's a sorry egg sucker. You can tell him I said so. Amen. No, I said, you won't make him mad. I wish to God I could make him a little mad. Let him come on and get it hot enough in here where he come out of the fire and latch on to somebody. Just shake him off like Paul done. Praise God and go on. Amen. That's right. May all say amen right there. We're also to offer the sacrifice of our substance. Do you want to hear? Hang on to you, Bill Foles, boys. Hang on to you, Wallace. Here's what Hebrews 13:16 says. But to do good and communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. In other words, we are to communicate. We are to communicate. And you know what that word means? It means partnership. It means participation. Our social intercourse. In other words, we're supposed to do things to help people. We're to not to forget to try to help other people with our substance. In other words, we see our brother in need, we don't say, God bless you, brother, be you warm and filled. We help him. Amen. Amen. We see a missionary in need, real need, we don't say, well, somebody else will help him. We help him. If there's somebody in the church that gets in dire need, we don't say, well, he'll make it some way. We help him. Amen. Amen. By the way, we ought to help our own before we help anybody else. Amen. You can say amen or oh me, but I'm telling you, the church, amen, our church ought to come before helping anybody else. Amen. You can say amen or on me. Don't make a stinking flip to me. I won't say number two, and I'm about to, I won't be much longer, maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours. Hey, we're not only a particular people, but we're a praying people. We are a praying people. The Bible said in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication. In the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit. Just like Jude said, praying in the Spirit, capital S, praying in the Holy Ghost, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. Now, I want to say something right here. Listen carefully. I'm getting ready to say, not all people, not all the saints of God, have the praying power of Elijah. Elijah prayed and it rained not for 3.5 years. And he prayed again and prayed down the fire on Mount Carmel. And he prayed again that it would rain and it rained again. Now I'm going to tell you something. He's the only man I found in the Bible that done that. Amen. Not everybody have the praying power that what Elijah had. And I'm going to say secondly, not all have the praying faith that Paul had. Old Brother Paul, while in a storm that was a hopeless situation, all hope was gone. Paul came up out of the ship. You know the story, how he told him, there stood beside me an angel of the Lord this night. Paul prayed, and God delivered him and all that were with him. What faith, what praying faith. Paul prayed in a prison, and the Lord opened every prison door. What faith. Paul prayed after seeing a vision, and God opened up the the region of Macedonia to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? We may not have to be able to pray like Elijah, and we may not be able to pray like Paul, and we may not be able to pray like Elisha. Oh, Elisha prayed with grace. He said that, told that young man, said, Lord, open this young man's eyes that he might see. And that young man's eyes were open. He said, Lord, have mercy. Horses and chariots of fire round about it. Elisha said, see, there's more for us than they, with us than they are with them. If God just opened some of y'all's eyes, you can see the host round about it. Somebody asked me the other day, said, do you believe we've got a guardian angel? They're all around us. Paul called them ministering spirits. I believe there is horses and chariots of fire all around us. Hallelujah to God. Devil ain't going to get through them chariots of fire. Woo! Praise God, we got a hedge around about us, buddy. Thank our God. I want to praise His wonderful name. You may not be able to pray with the power of Elijah, the faith of Paul, or the grace of Elisha, but I'm going to tell you what you can do. You can pray.
Amen.
You can pray. All of us can pray. Every one of us can pray.
Amen.
Somebody said, what if it don't get through? Ain't never been a prayer prayed that wasn't heard. Every one of us can pray. Every one of us can ask. Every one of us can seek. Every one of us can knock. And every one of us can call. Every one of us. That little song says that we sing sometimes, little as much when God is in it, even when we're old, unable to do anything, we still pray.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you something. You can pray in your heart and God will hear it. He did Hannah.
Amen.
If you get old and have a tube run down your nose and one in your mouth and other places on your body and needles run in your arm and everything else, if you got grace enough, I take a lot of grace, you can still lay there like that and say, Lord, help sinners around the world to be saved.
Amen.
There's so many dying without God. God help the church. God bless our church and help it to grow. God open the doors. Let us see some out in the baptismal pool. God, give us a burden for those that are without, that we might pray for them and labor in prayer until their heart breaks and tears run down their face and they come to Christ, having been born again by His marvelous grace and love. Oh, yes, we can all pray, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Brother Steve, talking about tonight, maybe teaching in Sunday school. On the model prayer. Oh, what a prayer it was when you pray. Pray, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. You're sacred, Lord. You're holy. I'm telling you, that's the first thing we got to recognize in prayer. Realize that God is a holy God.
Yeah.
Old Moses went strutting up that burning bush and said, hey, boy, get your shoes off. Ground your own's holy. Joshua said, are you for us or for adversaries? And the captain of the Lord's host said, take your shoes off, Junebug. You're on holy ground. He said, I'm the captain. I'm come to as a captain of the Lord's host.
Amen.
He's going to have the priority and preeminence, ladies and gentlemen. He ain't playing second fiddle to nobody. I'm going to tell you why a lot of us don't have more God than we got. We're trying to let God play second fiddle in our life, and He ain't going to do it. Sell out, amen.
Yes.
You've got access to God. You've got a relationship to God. Sell out for God. Present your body a living sacrifice for God. Do for God what you won't do for somebody else. Come on now, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And pray. Oh, there's power in prayer, power to spare. Oh, there's power, so much power, there's power in prayer. You believe that?
Amen.
I believe that. And they prayed, and the place where they were was shaken.
They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Woo! Yeah. Amen. Paul prayed, and the prison began to shake, rattle, and roll. And the prison doors were open, and the prisoners all came out. Now I'm going to tell you, we get to praying. There's some prisoners locked up whose doors will be open. Hallelujah. And they'll flee the prison cell and come to Christ and lay hold of all eternal and everlasting life. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Now, I want to say thirdly in closing, now I don't want you to misunderstand this when I say this. We're a particular people. The Bible says there in my text, so we, thy people, and the sheep of thy pasture. I'm not the devil's servant. I'm not in his family. I'm not even of this world. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. We're particular people because we're God's. And what makes it particular is that everybody doesn't belong to God. There's a lot of folks that have rejected His grace and they're going to die and go to hell. Isn't that something? You look at some people and say, you know what, you can tell by looking at that guy, he is a particular person. He holds a real position. I'm going to tell you, we hold a real position in life. We're particular people. We are. So we, thy people, we're particular because we belong to Him. Thank God I'm glad I'm His.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm His. He's purchased us with His own blood. We've been bought with a price. We're not our own. That makes us a particular people. We're bought with a price. Here's what gets me and humbles my heart, and I hope it'll humble your heart. You and I are worth nothing. You need to get a hold of that. I mean, some folks think that, you know, they go to the bathroom and don't stink. They think they're something. I'm Mr. So-and-so. But the fact of the matter is, they're nothing.
Amen.
We're just clay. That's all we are. Just clay. We come out of the dust and we're going back to the dust. We're just clay.
Amen.
And we're worth absolutely nothing. But here's what blesses my soul, Brother Jerome. You all jump up and shout on this one.
Amen.
Here I stand. Here I stand on the slave market of sin, and I'm worth nothing. And the buyers all come by taking a look. And here comes this gentleman that doesn't look like the rest of the crowd. He looks like he's got glory running all over him. And the words that he speaks are soft and tender and loving and kind. He walks up and he pulls up the price tag and he said, isn't this something? And he looks me over and he says, well, he said, you know, you're worth nothing. Yes, sir, I know that. I'm worth absolutely nothing. I haven't looked at my price tag. What does it say? Price tags, you're worth nothing, but the strange thing is, man, you've got a high price tag on you. To be worth nothing, the price tag says that the cost is the Son of God.
Amen.
Now, if you can get a hold of that,
that's
good. We're nothing but the price tag that was put on us was the life and the life blood of the Son of God. What a price tag!
Amen.
I won't say this. I won't get right over here, Brother Ricky, and say this. I won't say this. Brother Ricky, that price tag on us, hey, we're worth nothing, but it had such a high price tag. Here's what it said. We were priced so high, there was only one man in all
all of the universes that had enough riches to bask. Worth nothing, but it took all the riches of the Son of God to pass. Woo! That don't do nothing for you, buddy. You ain't got no hope today. I'm just here to tell you that. Riches! Here's old Hall, absolutely worth nothing. And a price tag hanging off of me, the Son of God. Amen. Nobody else had the riches. Nobody else had enough to buy me. But the Son of God won't buy it, said, I'll take it. And the devil said, well, how much have you got? And he said, how much does it take? He said, everything you have. He said, no problem, I'll give it. And he emptied his change pockets, his money bags, and he emptied himself. Are you listening to what I'm preaching? He emptied himself and was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Hallelujah. Although he was God, he became man as well. And emptied himself of all of his glory. And came to this earth, ladies and gentlemen. And died. So he could pay that price tag. What would you do if you walked up to Penny's to buy a suit? You had $10,000 in the bank. You read that up in the suit. It said, price. All you got in the bank. I give him $10,000 for a suit. It didn't bother Jesus one bit. He emptied himself. Though he was rich, he became poor. And you and I, God, we made the riches of God in him. Father God, I know I've preached a long time. I don't even know where my glasses at or nothing. And then we're the sheep of his pasture. We know his voice. We're thy people. We the people. We know his voice. Amen. We have table rights. Did you get your feet under his table this morning? We got table rights. And we not only have table rights and know his voice, but we have his presence. So we thy people and the sheep of thy pasture. If we're the sheep of his pasture, that tells me he's my shepherd. He's right out there amongst us. Checking us out. Every day we're going to the sheepfold, he gets down and pulls a wool back and looks for mites and all that stuff, sin and all that in their life, puts in the sheepfold. And there stands the old devil out there like a wolf. Jesus just turned around and said, not today, son. Not today. And not this one. You know why? Why can't I have him? Because he is one of the people of God.
Amen.
We, the people of God. Let's stand together.